Monday. First day of the week. Welcome to it.
You drew it out. We're almost out of time now.
I don't like Mondays. I don't like Tuesdays.
Why, Boomtown Rats Wendy?
That was my nickname.
Why don't you like them?
I mean,
most people, I think if you ask most people what is the day of the week that is the hardest, I think most people would probably say Mondays because you got 5 full days of work ahead of you. But look, you and me, we're almost 20% done with the week almost. That's not fair to everybody else.
Plus, we only work 3 hours a day.
We do. Well, plus prep, so 3 hours and 5 minutes a day. It adds up.
You're a little longer than that. But really, I figured it out when we were talking to John Williams before.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say this because it's terrible. We only work 15 hours a week on the air.
Right.
About 80 hours a week prepping and everything.
Yes. Let's go with 80 hours a week prepping.
Now, I know he works Saturdays.
Yes, he does.
But still, and only 12 hours for the week.
Yeah. I know.
Wow. I just always feel like we should be ashamed and people look at us funny. Because, like, Dave Enneke's here at, like, 3:30 in the morning, and he's here sometimes beyond when we leave.
And then he goes and does Northwestern basketball and football games.
I know.
Right.
So then I feel really guilty and everything, but all of a sudden when I figured out the amount of John Williams hours,
yeah,
I didn't feel so bad anymore.
But if you tag the hours I put in here with the hours I work at Sbarro, so that's another 25 hours a week.
Can I ask you a Sbarro question? You'd be the one to ask.
Yeah, what do you need to know?
Is that New York style?
Yep.
That truly is?
Yep.
You don't seem very sure of yourself.
I'm under the belief that it is.
Wow, that's
politically correct. I'm not 100% sure, but I've been led to believe it is.
Because I heard Justin Kaufman this morning. He's sitting in for Steve Cochran, and he was saying that he did, like, some points, kind of like a Super Bowl square type thing. He did points about Academy Awards with his wife and his son.
Interesting. I didn't know you could do such a thing. You mean instead of just pick the winners, they did squares?
Well, I don't know that they did squares, but they did a contest, and he won.
Oh, because
He said his son followed his heart more than what he thought was going to win.
Never do that.
Yeah, but his kid's, like, young.
Yeah, he's got a young kid.
I don't know, 10, 12.
Young enough to still believe that following your heart is the way to do it.
I still follow my heart.
And where does it get you?
Nowhere.
Nope.
Nothing but sadness, Bill.
Yep.
Heartbreak.
Yep.
Whatever.
Psoriasis.
No, that I'm good.
All right.
So Justin won, and the winner gets to pick where they're going for dinner next weekend.
That's a great bet.
It is, and then they all watch it together. So it was a really fun, nice family thing.
Yeah.
But so he kept talking about how he wanted to go get tavern style pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, in my whole life of living here, I've never heard it called that. And what he meant was the thin crust that's cut in the grid shape.
Right.
Which is just thin crust pizza. I've never heard it called tavern style.
I've never heard it called that, but as soon as you said it, I knew exactly what it meant. Didn't you?
No. I thought tavern style meant pizza that you order in a bar that they put in their little pizza oven.
Oh, they microwave it?
No. They have a pizza oven, and it's a legitimate pizza, but it's from frozen. I just call it thick or thin.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I didn't know this, since we're discussing pizza, I didn't know this had a name, but it does. We had a restaurant person on once tell me what it was called, but I can't remember. You know how sometimes you'll get pizza, and then the bottom of the crust has, like, pizza dust on it, like crust dust. It's like a rough crust
Corn
dust.
Cornmeal.
They didn't call it cornmeal, but it is kind of like cornmeal, but it's like I don't know how to describe it other than just say magical pizza dust. Doesn't that sound like fun? Magical pizza dust.
I can't believe that's what I'm Googling right now.
What if instead of glittery dust, Tinkerbell threw magical pizza dust at the Pirates? Wouldn't that have been funny? I don't know what it's called, but we had somebody on who brought up pizza to us once when Dane Neal was on, and they go, have this, you'll like the crust. And it had it. It had that real, like, I don't know.
It's cornmeal.
Is it cornmeal?
I think so.
So why doesn't that just bake in with the rest of the crust then? Why is that separate? I'm not complaining. I love it.
Because it's gritty, and I think they put it along with butter so it doesn't stick to the bottom of the pan. That's my understanding.
So they add it later? Or I don't know how they make it. And it's best that
I
don't.
It's cornmeal.
It is cornmeal?
On the bottom of pizza, the main reason you sprinkle cornmeal or flour onto the bottom of your pizza tray or pizza stone is so that it won't stick to the bottom.
Oh.
Boy, I just totally...
That's amazing.
Magic pizza dust.
I'm going to continue to refer to it as magical pizza dust because I think it makes the process more mystifying.
Here's what you put on the bottom.
I'm going to ask, the next time I go for pizza, I'm going to ask my server if they could please add extra magical pizza dust and see what kind of a response I get.
Sometimes I don't like it because sometimes people put too much and it's gritty.
Oh, I could never get too much. Yeah, it is.
And you like that? It's like, why don't you go to the beach and eat sand?
Done that?
I did too. Do you remember being a little kid? I swear to God, I watched my niece this last summer, my great niece rather, just sitting like with her area, like all in the sand. She's just sitting playing in the sand like kids do.
Yeah. Wait, with what?
Well, she has a bathing suit on, but it's like you're not supposed to get sand down there.
Well, ideally, no.
I know, but.
But as a child, you don't realize.
Care.
Right. You just go, I'll wash it off later or tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yeah, but guys don't have to worry as much as a girl does because, you know.
Right.
You're like just sitting in it. And it made me think of when I was a kid. I mean, I used to bury myself. You'd sit there with your bucket and fill it up with sand and flip it over. And boy, I'd just be covered in sand. And then you go in the water and it all comes off. But now if I get like one speck of sand on my blanket.
The day is ruined.
It totally is.
I know. I'd never understood. And I mean, I was a kid and would make the argument that there are still parts of me that are.
Yeah.
I never understood the kids' need at any beach. You see this no matter what beach you go to. And, Wendy, I've been to foreign countries where kids do this on the beach. There's some need that children have to constantly move sand from here to there and back again. I don't know why.
Because you can. I mean, basically because it's portable. You've been taught to put it in a bucket, and then why would you just flip it over then? You have to walk somewhere else.
But wherever it is fine by me. Like, when I go to the beach, even as a kid, I'd go, all right, let's see where the sand is. It's there. That's fine. I would never go. I would much rather have it 4 feet over to the left, and then when I'm done moving it 4 feet over to the left, then I'll move it back. But kids seem to want to constantly move sand from point A to point B, and I don't understand why.
All within the beach line, though?
Don't take it with them. If it's down by the water, they want to put it in a bucket and move it closer to where their mom and dad are sitting, and then once that's been done, then they want to move it somewhere else.
Because I have an explanation for that, too.
Why?
Because if you're making what most kids do is like a ravine where you pour water
There's a lot of that.
I mean, because that's fun. You make a river.
That is fun.
Then you have to bring dry sand from the top of the beach area.
Right.
Not 100%, you know, not like these are the grains of this, the hourglass, not like that kind.
Was that in Search for Tomorrow?
I think so. Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
These are the days of our lives.
McDonald Carey was the guy who did the narration on that. McDonald Carey.
You can't control yourself lately. You really can't.
You can't fault me.
You're
for
the
knowing.
Donald Trump of radio.
I know stuff.
Yeah, but you...
Not the Donald Trump of radio. I wouldn't run in anywhere without any weapons. Not the Donald Trump of radio.
Do you know, I know this is all over the board, but this is the stream of consciousness. That's why we call it that. I wouldn't run into a place with no weapon.
Nobody would.
I mean, why do you even lie and say that?
That's like a guy pretending he's Spider-Man. If there's trouble, if Doc Octopus is in there, I'm going to run in. Do you have any weapons? Don't need weapons. I'm Spider-Man. I'll take care of business.
Did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
Yes.
Did you find it to be spectacular? Because I did not.
It was not spectacular. It was okay.
I was really disappointed that Alec Baldwin at the beginning of the show did not do something you had suggested.
I thought because he was in a Twitter war, President Trump and Alec Baldwin, that on Saturday Night Live, President Trump, played by Alec Baldwin, should somehow parody that, make fun of Alec Baldwin, and he didn't. And it was a missed opportunity, wasn't it?
It really was a missed opportunity.
Why wouldn't he done it? That scene was funny, but it would have been funnier if he ripped on Alec Baldwin.
It wasn't that funny, even.
It was
and
all right.
And Jeff Sessions was not that great.
Yeah, it was. Everything was just
flat.
Because they didn't move sand. If there was a scene with them taking sand and moving it and then moving it back, that would have been funny.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because you bring the drier sand that fits into the bucket from up where your parents are sitting.
Right.
And then you build it like down where the water is.
Right.
So you have to move it, because
right.
if you can't, it's so, the sand is so wet down by the water side that you can't dig it and put it in your bucket as easy.
But that's if you have, if your end goal is to make
a river, a ravine.
Yeah, if that's what you're shooting for, by all means, you must move the sand to make that pay off.
So that's acceptable?
Yeah, I think that's fine. But I always see kids get there and they push the sand, they take their hands and they push it over, and then they look at it and they go, well, I think it's time to push it back. And then they push it back and you go, do something better with the sand than move it from point A to point B and B back to A.
They're kids.
As a kid, I didn't play that game.
You know what's weird is I imagine you as a kid as you are now.
I was pretty much the same.
Like with a little briefcase.
No, I didn't have a briefcase. Why would I have a briefcase?
But you,
I have a lunchbox now. I couldn't have a briefcase as a child.
But see, most kids don't overanalyze things.
Oh,
they
I
just do it.
No, I had to.
I know.
I had to think things out. What are these children's reason for moving the sand? I'd ask them sometimes. Come here, other child. Come here. Why are you moving the sand? Leave it where it is. Do other things with your time.
What do you recommend that they should do with the sand other than move it from here to there?
I always like it when you make the shape. You instead of building a sand castle, you make it look like a naked lady is sitting on the beach. I always enjoy that. That's fun.
As an adult, maybe, but as a kid, no, you're not doing that.
As a kid, I didn't build it. As a kid, I would see it. I'd go, oh, look, they made it look like a lady's laying there, and that's fun. That would be a good time. That was a good time.
But you have to move sand to the lady's body.
Yeah, you do. But it's warranted. In that instance, you go, that's time well spent.
All right.
The end result is something comical that everyone can enjoy. It's a naked lady made out of sand and just laying on the beach. Yay.
So you used to get all down and dirty in the sand as a kid as well, or you still didn't then?
I like to, my friend Dan Skiles had a sandbox.
I did too.
You had one too? All right. So that.
His was big though, didn't you say?
Dan Skiles had a monster sized sandbox. So what we would do is we would start it out as though it were a mountain, and then we would build roadways that would go through the mountain.
For your cars?
Yeah, that's cool. Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars would go through there.
I did that too.
What's more fun than that?
But I'm talking about the beach.
Oh, at the beach. Hmm.
Because, like, honestly, if sand gets on my blanket, it really, like,
it ruins the whole day.
It doesn't really, but I have to, like, make everybody get off the blanket, and I have to shake it, and then try it again, and then when somebody steps on the blanket, it's like, you got sand on
it's
the
irritating.
Blanket. So you don't like sand either?
I'm okay with it. Now, what I've done, can I tell you what will help you immensely?
Okay, please. Because beach season's coming.
Beach season right around the corner.
For 2 days.
Right, and that's too cold to go to the beach. About 8 or 10 years ago, I invested, and it's not a huge investment. It's like $10, but you can get a pretty good beach chair that folds up, and then that elevates you above the sand.
Oh.
And it's the best. I mean, really, it's $10.
Can I get a senior discount?
Yeah, now for you, it's $9. You get a 10% off discount.
Although I can't get up now from it because they're too low.
Once you're in it, you're in it.
Can I tell you, honestly, prior to my knee surgery, I could not use those beach chairs because it was too hard for me to get up.
The bend of it would be hard to get out of.
It's just that they're too low, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm looking forward to getting a beach chair.
It'll make a world of difference.
And I can get up.
And if you fold it properly, like I've figured out a way to fold it where you can put two towels and a book or magazine in there in the middle, and then it's nice and thin. Yeah, I love it.
And it's compact with your book and your...
Couldn't be better.
This is a life hack you should pose online.
This is at mybeachtips.com, Wendy, billsbeachtips.com. The number one tip last year was get yourself a decent beach chair. $10, you're in, you're out. You can get them at Target. You can get them at Jewel. They're the best. Walgreens has them. Dick's Sporting Goods.
I'm going to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
I kept meaning to go, and I don't need anything.
To support them?
Yes.
In their gun ban? Or not gun ban, but gun
rules, legislation. 21 and over, and no automatic weapons.
Yeah.
I just
good
want
for you guys.
Speaking of weather and beach season, which is coming, like mm-hmm. we said, mm-hmm. you get a couple months, right? Not altogether.
I think June 1st is the beginning of beach season, so we're almost there.
Do you know that it snowed in Egypt?
Just this week?
Yeah. It's the first snowfall in 112 years.
No.
Oh, wait. Maybe I've been hacked.
Are you on fakeweathercast.com?
No, I'm on huffingtonpost.co.uk. But, you know, there was some news that was going around this morning because they showed snow on the pyramids in Egypt. But it may
really?
Have happened. Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure I saw it today, but I don't know when it was from.
On the pyramids.
Oh, see, it's old. It's from 2013, a picture of the snow-covered pyramids in Egypt.
I'm surprised that happened.
Yeah, I am too, but I'm surprised I fell for it, because usually I try to look at the date when I see something.
Right.
There was this weird creature that's also been going around on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. It's called the, not the TARDIS, because that is...
That's Doctor Who.
But it's like that, and it is this weird little bear-like thing that has no eyes, and it swims in the water. And it's like, you know, a new species has been discovered. And then I looked, and it was from like 2 years ago.
Why is it just now?
It must have turned up in somebody's Facebook feed. You know how when people pass away?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
So I got
these
hacked.
Are the kind of stories that you could show Frances McDormand, and then while she's reading it off your phone, I would steal her Oscar. This is all part of our elaborate plan to take Frances McDormand's Oscar away from her.
Tardigrade, by the way, is the...
That's the name of the animal?
Yeah.
And it has no eyes?
No.
Why?
It's, I don't know. It's a micro... it's small.
Hmm.
Kim Gordon has joined us.
Yes, zoologist Kim Gordon, yes. Now in studio.
Well, you said it was a tart or something. Do they wear a kilt with like a plaid?
<That's>
no,
tartan.
It's like, it's just a microscopic organism.
Oh, that's ugly.
It's scary.
It is scary, and it swims, and somebody had it on their Facebook page, and I thought, oh, that's cool. And I went to look at it, and yeah. It was from last year.
Is it in this part of the world? Do we have them
I
here?
I think, no.
Those are very hideous. Unless you're listening and you are one, in which case, I'm sure you have good qualities. I'm not saying that you're not a good person. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Kim Gordon will give you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Not what we wanted to hear in terms of the weather, right?
No, I just said beach season is coming up.
Yeah. We'll have
not
to postpone it.
I'd rather have snow on
hopefully
my beach blanket.
This is our last hurrah, let's hope.
I hope so.
I'd rather have snow on my beach blanket than sand, though, to be honest
me
with
too.
You.
Me too.
Yep.
I don't like sand.
So true.
All right, Kim, you did the story. Bail has been set at $3 million for James Eric Davis Jr. of Illinois, of Plainfield. Charged with two counts of murder and a weapons violation for allegedly killing his parents last week at Central Michigan University. 19 years old, grows up in Plainfield. The dad is a part-time cop in Bellwood and National Guard.
Yeah, retired from the National Guard. His mom was a real estate agent, American Airlines flight attendant. So,
and he had, there were two other children as well, a brother and a sister. And something that I looked at this weekend, and I hate to say that I kind of did like some stalking. Like the news story that I read said, you know, Alexis Davis mentioned something on her Twitter account. So I looked up her Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brother was Russell Davis. And I looked up his Facebook page. And he seems to be studying to be a minister of some sort.
I think so. Yeah.
And when I looked at Russell's page on Facebook, I felt bad. Like I shouldn't be doing this, but the journalist part of me wanted to see.
It does feel a little creepy sometimes.
It doesn't
but but you have to, because if we have to give a full story, then we need to know all the facts, you know?
Right. And this is, the older brother, wrote on his Facebook status, you know, I hate to admit this, but yes, in fact, this terrible, tragic news is true.
Yeah.
And went on to, talk about it. And then he said that he is asking that the public and the media asking them not to rush to judgment. And here's the quote: "Please don't make a villain of my brother. This is not who he is. Despite the circumstances, he also lost a mother and father, and I love him. Consider that." And that really touched me.
It does. I mean, you would think first, the first feelings you think you would have are anger.
Yeah.
Such anger.
Like, you did, what'd you do to mom and dad?
But it appears that he had something going on, because they came, even though the school was about to go on spring break, it says that, you know, the parents were coming to pick him up because he had been hospitalized the day before for some type of erratic behavior.
Right, yeah.
Earlier it said it was a drug.
They didn't know.
Allegedly a drug,
possibly,
so we don't know that for sure. Uh-huh. So there was definitely something going on with him.
There'd have to be, yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's just scary when you think about it.
And
I mean,
you know, allegedly it was also his father's gun that he used in the incident. Mm-hmm. So,
and they don't know if the father brought the gun to pick up his kid, because that is, I guess you can't bring a gun on campus. That's illegal. You'd think he'd know better. But then there's
even if you're a police officer,
I don't know.
That might be different.
That I don't know. But they also found video of this kid walking into the dorm with a gun in his hand. After the fact, they checked the surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
It's just strange, you know, like,
although maybe he knew his dad kept his gun in the glove compartment.
Yeah, that's
when,
true.
You know, he wasn't on duty or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe the dad thought, since he was a police officer, just put it in the glove compartment. Then he didn't really have the gun in the dorm room.
Right.
I just feel so bad. And of course, you get like the neighbors and people who knew him, that this was just a regular family.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what all of a sudden just snaps that the regular family is not regular anymore.
Right. It's just so scary.
Yeah.
It's just...
Sorry, you did that story in the news, and it's just something that I'm following now, but I'm embarrassed that I went to Facebook page, and I got to tell you...
Well, you can't be embarrassed.
But I do that now a lot when you hear stories in the news and a name is... Like, they just named the guy who stole Frances McDormand's
Oscar
thing, and I started to look up what if he was on social media.
Some guy named David Jennings. Did you ever hear of him?
No, stop it.
Do we know the motive for that, or he just was?
I think he wanted an Oscar. He's always wanted one, and he's not done a very good.
He's not going to win one.
Yeah, so he'll take Frances McDormand's. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, of all the people, she's not going to call you out or anything.
No.
But the first thing I do of news stories now is go to their social media presence and see if I can find out more about them.
Well,
is that wrong
that's
of
a
me?
Good journalist.
A lot of times, though, don't they quickly take them down if there's anything telling in them? They don't. Mm-hmm. No?
Depends. You
know, I find, too, it's kind of weird, like some relatives that I had who had Facebook pages that have passed away.
Yeah.
They're still around.
Yeah, I know.
And sometimes people post stuff on that. Then that, to me, is also very weird.
It's ghoulish, isn't it? Yeah.
But now, I thought, and I don't know if this is family members that do it or if Facebook does it.
Well, how do they know, though?
Yeah, I guess it would have... Somebody puts it, like, you know, in, like... John Smith, okay? And John Smith passes away, so now it would say John Smith Memorial Page.
Right.
So it would automatically switch over to a memorial page?
I think a family person has to do it.
Activate it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's better.
Especially if you want to leave condolences or something at the very beginning, if, you know.
Right.
But then I get confused on that, too, because a birthday popped up of someone I went to school with, a girl named Lisa, who I was friends with in junior high, and she passed away last year, and her birthday popped up, and I'm like, oh, it's Lisa. And then I, you know, clicked to go on her page, and I'm like, oh, that's right, she passed away. And I saw that people left birthday wishes, but I didn't know what to do, because I thought it was heavenly birthday.
Yeah.
She's not reading it, is she?
No, but maybe if
no
kids or husband. I mean, let's hope she's reading it. You know,
you get a
maybe
signal.
They have an Apple
Do you
store
get free
in heaven?
Wi-Fi in heaven?
Because
if so, I'm ready.
That's heavenly.
Yeah.
That would be nice. A guy I used to do stand up with died several years ago, and then I got a friend request from him a couple of years ago, and I thought about it, and I would still be friends with him, except for the small fact that he's no longer with us. But then I found out it's his sister who wants to keep his memory alive and keep in touch with certain people. So she started up this page. But it was just odd to get a friend request from somebody who I know had died about 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's
that is weird.
Yeah.
And if it had said this person's name in their memorial page, it would have made more sense
a lot
to you
more
in the beginning.
Sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Will you accept my friendship request once I die?
I'll get back to you on that, Wendy. I'm not 100% sure. I know you're only allowed 5,000 living friends. I don't know how many dead friends you're allowed to have.
I had to purge some people to make room for you.
But, oh, you did?
Yeah. Well,
thank you. That's very kind of you. Very, very kind of you. Hey, you know who did stand-up over the weekend, Wendy? Donald Trump did stand-up at the Gridiron Dinner. This is an annual event where the president goes and speaks and does jokes. Now, the difference between this year's Gridiron Dinner and previous year's Gridiron Dinners is that there's no tape of this anywhere. Like in other years, when Barack Obama used to do it, you could run highlights of it and either laugh along and go, I don't know if that was funny. It's up to you.
Well, he was pretty funny.
Too, last year, he didn't even go. So the fact that he even went this year, remember, he didn't
Donald Trump didn't go last year?
No, he didn't go to the press dinner last year.
Now, is that the same one?
No.
Because there's a different event that I know he skipped out on, but I don't know if it's the Gridiron Dinner.
What's the Gridiron? Is this just with football players?
No, it's not.
Do you take a knee? What's going on?
Despite
now, Donald Trump would definitely not come if you took a knee.
Last year, there was a roast at the White House Correspondents Association.
That's the one.
So that's the one he skipped out on.
Okay,
he didn't want to do that one.
But this one he went to.
He went to it, surprising a lot of people. We don't have any tape of it because I would love to play you some of it. But I do have some of the highlights or lowlights that I can share with you if you want to hear these.
Can you do it in Trump voice?
I cannot do it in Trump voice. I wish I could.
How about Melania's voice?
That one's better.
Okay.
I just used Bela Lugosi's voice.
Bill.
All right. So here's some of the possible highlights, and then we'll give you the reaction of people as he did this for a room full of reporters, which is interesting because that's his enemy right now.
Exactly.
So that's
enemy
tough.
Number one.
Right. It is. All right. So here's a couple of the isolated jokes that he did. He says, Donald Trump, I wanted to apologize for arriving a little bit late. You know, we were late tonight because Jared could not get through security.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's funny.
That's
kind of
not
funny.
Bad.
That's all right.
That's all right.
I wanted it to be bad. It's not that
it
bad.
It says now they analyze it joke by joke. They say that the reviews were mixed on that, and then they explain the joke. I don't think we need an explanation.
No, we get it.
Jared doesn't
the
have security clearance.
Has been lowered.
Right. So that doesn't really need that much scrutiny. All right. Here's another one. My staff was concerned heading into this dinner that I couldn't do self-deprecating humor. They were worried about it. They said, "Can you do this?" And I told them not to worry. Nobody does self-deprecating humor better than I do.
Really?
I'm not sure that's a joke.
I mean, no. That's just a thing.
That's just a lie.
Right. I don't know how that's a joke.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. I like turnover. I like chaos. It is really good. Now, the question everyone keeps asking is, who's going to be the next to leave, Steve Miller or Melania? That is terrible, honey. You love me, right?
That, to me, is pitiful.
That's awful.
I mean...
That's awful.
Is this supposed to be funny?
I know. If I were sitting in that room, I would have been... Was Melania there? Do we know?
I think she was there, but it doesn't say here. But I think she would be there, because you can't... Can you do that? If you're him, can you do that without her there? You almost need her there to react, right?
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. It says you'll find this hard to believe. The reviews on that particular joke were mostly negative.
Yeah.
Really? I can't believe
it. Who says writer?
I don't know. When you say writer, he's got to have... I mean, when you put one of these together, you get a dozen guys. You get some of the best writers you can find. Although, I imagine a lot of people would turn down
it's
this
Alec
job.
It's Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good? Yeah.
All right. So here's his bit about Mike Pence. Mike is doing a fantastic job as our vice president. He really is. But lately, what bothers me, I have to tell you, he's showing a particularly keen interest in the news these days. He starts out each morning asking everybody, has he been impeached yet? Wow. Now, it says the reviews on that one were very positive.
Really?
I'm shocked.
They're all hoping that he does.
I guess so.
They're all like, yeah.
I guess so.
It's a reverse Trump rally.
All right, here's a joke about Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters, how about that one? Maxine Waters, he must be impeached. That's all she does. That's all she knows how to say. He must be impeached, impeached. But he's done nothing wrong. It doesn't matter, they say. What has he done wrong? I don't know. You've got to be impeached. And then I say, I get into trouble for this. She has to immediately take an IQ test. And then people go crazy. What?
Show me the funny.
Once again, for a joke to work, is you have to set something up and then twist it a little bit and have it pay off. And that doesn't do any of those things.
No.
I don't understand it.
It's like his normal tweet.
Right. It's just sprawling.
Yeah.
Starts out here, then it goes there, jumps up here, moves down there. I won't rule... This is another one of the president's jokes from the Gridiron Dinner on Saturday. And I use the term jokes very, very loosely. Jokes is in italics. I won't rule out direct talks with Kim Jong-un. I just won't. As far as the risk of dealing with a madman is concerned, that's his problem, not mine.
That one's funny.
That one's great.
That one's funny.
Yeah, that's better than
saying he's
the
madman.
Right.
Yeah, that one's pretty funny.
The old switcheroo. He pulled the old switcheroo. Does he have any jokes about Oprah? Oh, you bet he does. And Oprah, oh, here's my next one. Oprah, I don't think she's ever been hit verbally yet, right? She's led a charmed life. She's done a great job. She used to love me. She says she'll only run if she gets the go-ahead from the Almighty. All right, Oprah, go ahead and run.
Is that a joke or a short story?
That's his way of saying, of course, that he is the Almighty, so he gives his blessing for her to run.
Well, and he believes that, so that's really not a joke. Right.
So, yeah, none of these are jokes. These are serious.
This is him. I mean...
I know. Maybe he wrote these.
And
maybe
that's
it's
the point,
first time.
Is that so many people laugh at him.
Right. Right.
But it's all true. What he's saying, it's not even, he's not mocking himself, because what he's talking about is how he believes.
I know.
He really looks at himself in the mirror.
All right, here's his Joe Biden joke.
Oh.
Wendy, your prayers have been answered. There's talk about Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, getting into the race. You know what he said? I want to take him behind the barn. Well, just trust me, I would kick his butt.
Is there more?
I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
That's it. There's talk about Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, getting into the race. You know what he said? I want to take him behind the barn. Just trust me, I would kick his butt.
Well, are you sure that's not like maybe talking about like Joe from Morning Joe? Because didn't they get into a fight?
They also got into a fight, but Joe Biden did say that he wanted to take him out behind the barn.
Oh, okay.
So he's playing off of that.
Must have missed that one.
It's just, it's not.
Regardless of which Joe it was, right. It's not funny.
Could be Joe Namath.
That would be funny.
That would be very funny.
I'd kick his butt in pantyhose.
Right. Then you got a joke.
Yeah.
Because then everybody's with you. So then people responded. Here's what people said about his performance at the Gridiron Dinner on Saturday. John Harwood of CNBC wrote, "At times we and he were funny and we laughed." All right. Jay Rosen, a journalist.
He's got the gift of joke, too.
Right. John Harwood.
Is that all he has to say?
That's it. He's very brief. Jay Rosen, who is a journalism professor, wrote, "A graduate seminar in ritual humiliation with cocktails." That's how he summed up the evening. Mark Harris, a Washington journalist, wrote, "If you're a journalist and you're at this cozy, no cameras allowed Gridiron Dinner reporting on Trump's jokes, you're just part of the problem." I guess so. A tweeter wrote, "President Trump nailed this dinner. Fake news were pushing that he was going to misjudge an occasion. He poked fun of himself and his aides, and most importantly, those fake news clowns."
Whatever. I'm so sick of people saying it's fake news, because you know what? We report what we get, and Donald Trump would be lost without the media.
Well,
Donald Trump is because of the media.
He's a creation of the media.
Absolutely.
We found a guy that was a reality television show host and said, wouldn't it be funny if he was president? And then he was, and it wasn't funny.
Right. Exactly.
Trump turns whatever and whoever he touches into crap. The Gridiron Club cancel these dinners as long as he's in office, says former Democratic National Committee Chair Howard
Dean.
Does this
benefit something, the Gridiron Club?
Yeah, it does, but I can't remember what. But I know that they do. They raise money for some cause. And then finally, Donald Trump, this was his summation of the evening. "The Gridiron Dinner last night was great fun. I am accomplishing a lot in Washington and never had a better time doing something, and especially since this is for American people."
It's what he says about everything.
I know. I'm doing great.
It's a pat answer.
No president has ever done as good as I'm doing.
Right.
All right. So there you have it. Donald Trump doing some stand-up. I wish so badly there was tape of this, but he forbade it.
He wouldn't have it.
The Gridiron Club and Foundation was founded in 1885. It's in Washington, D.C., the oldest and one of the most prestigious journalistic organizations in D.C. Its 65 active members represent major newspapers, news services. So it is kind of like the Correspondents' Dinner.
The Correspondents' Dinner gets a lot more publicity than this one. I guess because of the size of it.
A-list celebrities.
Yeah.
Membership is by invitation only and has traditionally been offered almost exclusively to Washington newspaper bureau chiefs.
Oh, interesting.
That's the difference.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Recently, however, it has begun opening its doors to such non-newspaper media figures as Tim Russert of NBC News.
It can't be too recently because he's been dead for 5 years.
Unless he friended them on Facebook because
maybe.
Tim Russert's been gone for a while.
I thought he was. This
like
is off Wikipedia.
Or so, right?
In 2008, In 2008, the club merged with its charitable arm, the Gridiron Foundation. It's a 501c, blah, blah, blah. Makes annual charitable contributions and provides scholarships to a number of journalistic organizations and colleges, including University of Maryland, George Washington University, and Norwich College.
You know, if you get to host the Correspondents' Dinner, that's considered to be, if you're like a stand-up comic, that's like one of the plum jobs you could ever get. However, it's one of the most difficult ones because if you're making fun of the left, the right's not liking you. They're not laughing. If you make fun of the right, the left's not laughing. It's or the other way around I should say. That would be one of the hardest nights to MC. Seth Meyers has done it and done a really good job. Stephen Colbert has done it and done a good job. Cecily Strong did it, I think, last year or 2 years ago. She was all right. She did a nice job.
The Gridiron Club is best known for its annual dinner, which traditionally features the United States Marine Band.
Doing all their hits.
Sounds like that was the highlight.
No, that was the funniest part of the evening.
Along with satirical musical skits by the members of the United States Marine Band. Again, this is Wikipedia, so you got to be careful here. And remarks by the President of the United States and representatives of each political party.
Yeah.
So do we know who else spoke?
I can't find who else spoke.
Maybe they were funnier.
Listen to this. So. The skits and speeches by various politicians are expected to be self-deprecating or otherwise sharply comedic.
Well, then they were grossly disappointed in Saturday's dinner.
Through 2016, every U.S. president since 1885, except Grover Cleveland, has spoken at the dinner.
Because Cleveland was doing Showtime at the Apollo that night.
Bill and Hillary Clinton have both spoken at club dinners. 2008 dinner marked the sixth time that President George W. attended during his presidency.
Oh.
And that's all I know. It's held in the spring, usually in March.
So last year, like we said, Trump didn't do the Correspondents' Dinner, but did he do this one? I can't remember. Because that would have been very early in his presidency, but I don't remember if he did it or not.
Maybe not even 2 months in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we missed it.
But there are some guys that are just built better for this kind of thing. I'm positive Trump walked away from this going, I won, I did it, I pulled it off. But
he can be funny. He can be funny. He knows how. I mean, and if somebody wrote him good material, I'm not saying this depicts that
Whoever
at all.
Whoever wrote this stuff.
It's not good.
No.
Maybe he wrote it.
Maybe. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. We'll find out what's coming up on Sports Central next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.